Howdy. Hey, my voice is a little raspy this morning, if you haven't noticed. And so it might be a unique message this morning because it may be that you have to fill in the blanks of the message. I might say part of a sentence, you have to figure out what the rest of it is. But I'm just joking. With that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. And you've heard what I've already shared with everybody. And I'm asking, Father, please, that you will do just what I'm praying for. That you, dear Holy Spirit, would just work and move in our midst, that we'll be very aware of you. If it be your will, that we'll simply see your hand working, whether it be in individual lives or our own heart. But that we've sensed your presence. There's times, Father, when as Christians, for no reason at all, we just sense the overwhelming presence of you. And so I desire this. I pray that we desire this today, that as we gather here this morning to hear your word and to worship you, that holy presence of you will be prevalent amongst us. For my voice, I pray you help it to carry. But Father, you have worked through public speakers that are not good public speakers. The Apostle Paul, who said he was not smooth in his presentations, pastors that were very meek and quiet and mundane, so to speak, and the way they present themselves. It doesn't matter who the speaker is and what their style of speaking is, because you, dear Holy Spirit, are the one that does the work. And so I ask that you do that today. Glorify your son, Jesus, Father, and may you be exalted in Christ's name. Amen. Title of the message this morning is Called Out. There may be different connotations to word that means called out. You're called out for a purpose. Or when you're called out, you respond maybe differently. Maybe you respond in obedience. Maybe you respond disobediently. Maybe you're called out to do a specific thing. Or called out can also mean that you're approached with a challenge from God as well. And so we need to recognize that being called out is, it has its different ways of being applied. It can be a dramatic way that we're called out for God. It can be called out in your pew at church and saying, God's calling me to do this. God's calling me to be involved in this ministry. Whatever the case is, we know when the Holy Spirit is drawing us out for him. So as we continue in our study in Genesis and looking at key people through the book of Genesis, we look at Abraham today. And I love the story of Abraham. At least there's a lot to say about Abraham in the book of Genesis. But I want us to consider this morning Abraham. What do you think about when you first think about Abraham? You think about the fact that he was promised that he would be a man of many nations, that God would work through him, right? You think about the fact that he was the one who offered his son Isaac on the altar of Mount Moriah, and that was an Old Testament clear picture of God the Father sacrificing his innocent son Jesus on the cross for our sin. And so we think about some of these things that Abraham did, and that God worked his great purpose through him. And I want to reemphasize with the fact that God wants to work in and through us with great purpose. Sometimes we analyze the great purpose as the here and now. Sometimes we think, okay, God, if you really want to use me in a great way, or a way that I see such wonderful things, and he does, but that we have a tendency, again, to kind of spell it out. This is how I identify that. Therefore, if it's anything different from what I identify, you working in and through my life, then you're not doing it. But there are many that have been faithful to the Lord without a lot of visual impact and during their lives, but God had worked through them to touch many lives that affected many, many, many years after them. I want us to look at a couple of things. I want to go back to when Abraham was first called of God. I want us to go back to when he was called of God. I want us to go back to him, to the time that he was first given a promise by God. And I want to go back to when he was first told how to live for God. He was called, he's given a promise, and he was told how to live for God. And these principles apply to you and I today. And we have to be willing to look at those principles and decide whether we want to adhere to them or not. I want to look at the time when Abraham wasn't called Abraham. His name was Abram. And he came from the land of the Chaldeans, or the land of Ur. Now, during that time period, we have to understand that there were no synagogues on the corners. There was no Bible of God's Word provided. There were no churches. In fact, there were no godly people to follow as an example. In fact, Abram lived in a land that worshipped the sun god Molech, and they would have the huge brass and image of him, and they would light up his arms till it was glowing red, and they would offer their baby sacrifices into their arms of that statue. And they lived in such immoral standards, God was not seen. But I want us to remember that that Abram, who is Abraham, knew God. As I was talking about earlier about the Holy Spirit, no matter where we are, whether we're alone in a small group of people, a large crowd, it does not matter. When the Holy Spirit wants to move and touch your heart, He does. Now, I have a theory that's my own thought, but I believe if I was to really study it, it would be a biblical principle. And that is that every baby, when the baby's born, they're born innocent. You ever hold a non-innocent newborn baby? No. Right? I don't even know what sin is. But every human being has the opportunity to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. When you kids were very little, and where you are now, even when you become adults, all of us, but especially when you were little, that prompting of the Holy Spirit is something that we have a choice to follow, just as we do at any age. But the more that a child would follow the prompting of the Spirit of God, the more open they were allowing their heart to be tender toward God. But then you have the opposite view, where there may be those that would hear the things of God and shut it out, not interested. And the more they shut it out, the more distant that activity was in their life, and the heart would be more hard toward God. Now, that's not to say that later on in life they didn't have a point where God got through that and they received Christ or not. My point is that at a very young age, God draws us to Him, and the choice is whether we follow or not, just like at any age. But Abraham must have been one of those kids who had a sense of God. And Scripture tells us in the book of Romans that man is without excuse because of creation itself. If you look at creation, there's no excuse. God is God. He is our Creator. And that was a witness and is a witness and testimony of His power and might. Excuse me. So Abram identified without hardening his heart, there is a Creator. There is a God. And that had to be the beginning point of introduction to him, so that as he continued to look that way, something happened. Look at the relationship that Abram had with God. We find here in Genesis 12:1, which is the first point, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Now, think about that for a moment. Again, no spiritual influence in his culture, zero. Yet, he knew God. It wasn't saying that he simply knew there was a God. It wasn't simply saying that, oh, I believe that God is working with me somehow. It was a relationship with God that was clear enough that he identified the voice of God saying, Abram, get out of this homeland that you're a part of. It was clear. It was distinct. It was without question. And it was the challenge placed before him that he had to make a decision whether I'm going to follow God or not. Here's the beautiful thing about this. He loved God enough and knew God well enough that he would say, Lord, I want to be in your will. I want to be right with you. And I'm going to follow you, even at the cost of forsaking my homeland, even at the cost of forsaking some of my relatives, whatever the case is. That's a lot to ask. And it's a full surrender of his heart to God. And on top of that, he didn't know where he was going. God doesn't lay out the blueprints or the plan for our life. I've told you before, if God had laid out the blueprint plan for my life, I would have run scared. Because I'm not a public speaker. I don't have good speech, speech school and all that stuff, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And if I had known that when I was first saved, I would have just been scared out of my shoes. So Abram left the land of the Chaldeans in obedience to God. And he said, I want you to go this direction until I tell you to stop. Now, excuse me. I served as an associate pastor for 16 years before becoming a senior pastor. And there's a point when we were serving up in Placerville that God said, it's time to cut the ties here. And my wife and I went out to a nice dinner, a nice restaurant, and I was a little nervous to talk to her about it. But as I opened up the door, she said, well, I've been feeling the same thing. And so, to shorten the story, I told my pastor, okay, I'm resigning from my position, and we're leaving the church. And he says, where are you going? I said, I don't know. You mean you don't know what you're... No, I just know we're going. And we knew we were going, but we didn't know where. And so God said, I feel like this story here with Abram being called out to go, but not knowing where. Got a phone call shortly after the decision was made that we were leaving, after we made it clear to the pastor. That evening, got a phone call from my first church. Now, honestly, we had talked, we had sent out a resume. But that evening, after we made the decision, the evening we got the call, and they wanted us to come in view of call, to at least to, not in view of call, but to interview us. Phone goes, hi, this is so-and-so from First Southern Baptist Church in Merced. We'd like to have you come. We'd like to interview you. The number is 209-837-BEEP. I go, man, I did not get the number. When we ended up, long story short, going to that church and being called to that church. But God had the plan. And we had to be willing to step out by faith and say, God, you called me into ministry. I don't know where you're going to go, what you want us to do. Right? We have to be willing to let God draw us out where he wants us to be drawn from. Now, here's an example from that. One, you may be called to move across country or from another country to this country, or you may be called to say, I want you out of this type of lifestyle culture that you've adopted. I want you to realize that the life that you're living right now, the friends that you have right now, the focus that you have right now, the environment you subject yourself to right now, that is your world, that is your culture, and I want you to come out from it. That's not an unusual thing, is it? I remember as my senior year, and God was really working with me, and I listened to Bo Skaggs, Santana, Three Dog, Knight, all those guys. All of you have blank eyes, maybe, wonder who in the world are they. But he said, you need to get rid of those, because I don't want you getting that in your head. Took them all, put them in the trunk of my car, and I said, who can I give it to? And God says, if I want you to get rid of them, don't give them to anyone else. So I got rid of them. So God can call us out of our environment, out of our circumstances, because he has a greater plan for us. And he doesn't necessarily tell us why and what direction we're going. And we have to remember that God called Abram out of his country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. The plan that God has for you and I is set by God. The choice is whether we follow God. Many Christians that choose not to follow God never discover the plan that God has for them. Never discover the purpose and the wonder of the power of Jesus, the Holy Spirit working in and through their lives in ways that they've never thought were a possibility. Because that's what God will do when you and I surrender ourselves continually in faith to God. Obediently. We're going to discover a blueprint, a plan that's beyond who we are. And that reveals the very power of God, that we experience that power and our faith grows even more. And so it's really very exciting that God called Abram out of his land. It's really very exciting when God calls us out of our environments. And so we need to be willing to sacrifice whatever God calls us to sacrifice, right? We need to be willing to say, God, you know, I'm game. Now there are some things that I'm if it was between me and the Lord and my relationship with God, I would surrender to it, but it would be extremely painful. If God were to call me out of the country right now to go somewhere else without being around my kids and grandkids, that would be extremely painful. And yet, die to yourself, live for God, right? But God knows my desire, and I pray He allows me to have it, to stay around my family and my grandchildren. So it's not like unlike God to call us out from our environment, from our culture, which can be at all different levels. Absolutely. So the first thing I want us to consider is that, that God also has called us out of a pagan society to be a holy nation. Isn't that right? If we just stay right here in Kalinga, God has called us not to be part of the culture that's opposed to God. That's, again, something that's Christianity 101. Let's consider 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, praise God, a royal priesthood, praise God, a holy nation, again, praise God, His own special people, praise God, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And praise God for that. Because we're that generation that God says, I want to use you as my children, my people in this world of darkness now. You are a priesthood, which is a person who intercedes between sinful man and Almighty God to help men have a relationship with God. And in simple terms, that's the gospel. We are called as a royal priesthood to lead people from eternal damnation to eternal life through faith in Christ Jesus. And so we are that type of people, and we are a special people. And again, to proclaim who He is, what He's done, and that He's called us out of darkness to walk in His light. We are children of light. We're called to walk in light. Was not Abram called of God? Was he not called with a specific purpose to represent God, to declare who God is, to teach his family who God is? Was his faith not the beginning of faith that affected people throughout time? Because he wasn't just the father of the Jews, so to speak, of the Israel nation. You know, it began with him and his descendants, and it built the nation of Israel. He wasn't just the genealogical development of making the people of Israel that came from Abraham, but he was the father of not a nation, but nations. Well, how do you get nations? Well, how you get nations is the fact that Abram had faith in God and his example and his relationship with him. It's the very same example that you and I have. We are to believe by faith and follow by faith. And so we have Old Testament saints that have believed in God just as Abraham did. New Testament saints that have believed in God just as Abraham did. The tribulational saints, millennial saints as well that are yet to come. And so we can praise God that there is a parallel there that has called us out to be a special or a peculiar people. We used to have this little joke when we were younger Christians. When we came across this verse, we'd say, oh, we're peculiar Christians. And he'd say, oh, you're peculiar, all right. Now, that could be a compliment because of our stand for Jesus, or it can be a reality of who we are, you know, and our own personalities. But we need to understand that there are two different definitions here that complement each other, almost put the pieces together of the word peculiar. In the Greek, the word peculiar means a purchased possession. We have been purchased by the blood of Christ. When we give our life to Christ, we're no longer our own possession. We've been bought by the precious blood of Christ. We belong to Him. That means all of us, collectively, but all our lives entirely, are given over to God are purchased by God. Maybe I should say it another way. Maybe I should just simply say that we've been purchased all that we are for God, but we're called to give all that we are to God. And so the first Greek, the definition is a purchased possession. But the Latin definition is that an act or thing. So if you look at those definitions of the word peculiar, is that the work that God provided for us on Calvary, that's the act or thing, purchased those who put their faith in Jesus. And we can praise God for that because we belong to Him. That will never change as believers in Christ. Never, ever change. We are a people of distinction because we are saved, but more so because we are being the people that God has called us to be in a world of darkness. He's called us out to follow Him. Like Abram, we also will face challenges. Let's say God calls you to be a Sunday school teacher. God calls you to join the church. God calls you to get baptized. God calls you to move from a long distance. God calls you in the ministry. God calls you, and He'll call every one of us as His children to step further out the box of our comfortable arena. He will call us out, at least we become solidified in this one position, this one area of structure of life, that we don't find ourselves growing anymore in Christ except to get a bigger head of knowledge. God wants us to continuously pull us out of the comfort zone to rely on Him so He can accomplish the work He wants to do in and through you and me. And that's the only way, that's a life ongoing thing. It should never, that's one of the safeguards of keeping our Christian faith from becoming stagnant. Because if we're stepping out in faith, hearing God challenging us, but the challenge of following Him, and we yield to that, we continue to grow in Him, which means we continue to learn of Him, and we continue to see the power of God working in and through our lives, and it keeps us fresh, not stagnant, in our relationship with Jesus. And so when God touches your heart and says, I want you to do this, oh no. In the flesh, oh no. But in the spirit, God's saying, oh yes. And it's your choice. Do you want to have a deeper, closer relationship with me? Or do you want to be out of fellowship with me and hinder the relationship that you already have? We will not be as close anymore because you know you're not doing my will. And that's just the way it is. And so we have to choose what we want to do. Abram faced challenging questions. What do you think they asked him when he left the land of the Chaldeans? What are you doing, Abram? I'm following God. Who in the world is God? What about Molech? He's our God. No, he's not. God of heaven and earth, creator of everything. He's my God. Oh, well, where are you going? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know where you're going? Well, my God said go that way. Are you an idiot or what? I can imagine the ridicule and the judgment and the misunderstanding and the frustration. But what was his security? God. And when I say security, is he had the fullness of the confidence of God's directive in his life that he adhered to and stood on and said with full confidence, I know that God told me this. I know I'm going to do this. And nothing around me is going to change that so long as I'm following him. And that's not unlike our own lives. When we say we're a Christian, when you say, I know this is God's will, how many people might say to you, how can you know God's will? Are you some sort of God or something? Of course not. Then you have to explain, well, my relationship with God helps me to know his will. And people just go, who do you think you are to have say you have a relationship with God? And so we can relate. So to follow Christ comes at a price. Jesus wants to be first over all people and things in your life. He's called us to be that living sacrifice, Romans 12:1-2. That everything we are is to be laid on his altar as that living sacrifice for God. In Mark 10:29-30, it says, so Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children, excuse me, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. No matter how high the price is, God is aware of what we're doing because he's called us. Whether it be a large price or a small price, God sees everything we do for him. But we have to come to the decision where that's where our heart is. I had a young pastor, a co-associate pastor. We were training and learning together. And he preached a message I never forgot. He said, so many times Christians live their lives like this. This is a leaf. I'm secure with knowing Christ. I know where I'm going in Christ. And I love Christ, quote unquote. But I'm not giving him all my life. But there are those Christians who come to a point in their life where they go, all that I am belongs to him. There's a transition point that all of us are challenged to come to. Are we going to give all of ourselves to him or just a part to him? Abraham left everything to follow God, and his name was changed because Abram did it. You know, Abram followed God and and did everything God told him to do, and his name was changed to Abraham, meaning father of many nations. And as I said before, he was not only the father of Israel because of the genealogy, but he's the father of faith as an example for generations that have passed and are still yet to come. He didn't have a full comprehension of what God was going to do with him. None of us do. But how exciting it is when God reveals phases in our lives. We should be able to look back over our life annually. I try to do this annually. Have I grown in Jesus? Is my relationship with Jesus deeper? Is my knowledge in Christ deeper? Have I grown in my faith stronger? Am I more of the man that God wants me to be than what I was the year before? We should be able to evaluate our growth process and identify that in our life. And so, even though Abraham didn't have a full comprehension of what God was to accomplish through him, it took faith for Abram to follow God, not knowing where God would take him. We don't know where God's going to lead us. We don't know the extent of what he's going to do through our lives as we're faithful to him. But we do know, because Jesus said it, if they hated me, they'll hate you also. They persecute me, they're going to persecute you too. They ridicule you, they're going to ridicule. They ridicule Jesus, they're going to ridicule you and I. We have to be willing to say, fine, I'm in his hands, and I trust him. Now, I'll try to wrap this up in just a few minutes here. But God made the call. We spent a lot of time on that. God calls us to live for him and serve him and to embrace the challenges he places before us if we're going to continue to discover the plan, the purpose, and the life that God intends for us. But the second thing is that as we follow God, even though we are in positions of being hated, rejected, ridiculed, etc., God has promised protection. Genesis 15:1 says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. I'm calling you to leave your family. I'm calling you to go that direction. I'm calling you to be what I want you to be. And I'm not telling you the game plan. But I am telling you this, because of your faithfulness, because of your desire to follow me, because of your love for me, because of the challenge that's placed before you, you're not turning away from but embracing, I will protect you. Why would he need protection? He's going to have conflict. He's going to have the persecution. He's going to have the attacks, even from a spiritual warfare aspect. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness, right? And there's going to be warfare, but God said, I will protect you. And our protection is in the strength of the Lord. Just as Abraham trusted in the protection of God, our protection is in the strength of the Lord. When God calls us to stand for him, live for him, follow him, even when we're ridiculed or misunderstood by others, God is our protection. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're not to be a timid, afraid people that are insecure in whom God has called us to be. We are to be a people that are in full confidence and standing, being the people He wants us to be, not because of our strength, our capabilities, or our own rationale upon ourselves, but for one sole reason: God called and has empowered. Acts 1:8. You've been called to go. You've been empowered with authority. And so we need to hold on to the fact that God is our shield and strength, even now, as we stand for Him. So how do we maintain our relationship with God and His power in our lives? That was the third point. Abram was called, and he was promised that I will protect you as you live and stand for me. But how does he maintain that right relationship with Him? It's the third thing we want to look at here this morning. And so I'll look at Genesis 17:1. It says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Almighty God. Sovereign Lord King. Nothing parallel, nothing above. Almighty God. Full authority and power, none equal to, not even close. I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. Now, if it didn't say and be blameless, it said just walk before me, that'd be more compelling. Because we see our sinful nature and how we fall. But what do we do as Christians when we fall, if we want to keep a right relationship with God? We confess it. We repent. And we make it right with God. 1 John 1:9 again. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we mess up, we clean up through confession and repentance, and we continue on the path of God. He knows that we are not perfect. We're going to fall in sin. But to continue on the path, to deal with what we mess up on, and to be faithful in what God challenges us to do, is being blameless. But it's interesting that even in my Hebrew Bible, excuse me, it says that in this verse, it says, I am Almighty God, they got that, and walk with me blamelessly. But in the very, very original, the word walk with me is walk before me, as this says. Walk before me. When we walk before somebody, we're walking in the presence, in the shadow of, and the intimacy or the closeness of God, with a full awareness that I am right before God. God is right there, and I am in full view of what He is leading me to do. Walk before Him. And that's what He's called us to do. Walk continually in the presence and the favor of God. That's the challenge. Walk continually in the presence and the favor of God, keeping yourself blameless and clean in God's eyes. How much do we love the Lord? We can ask that question and get a generic answer. Completely. All my heart. Show me the evidence. Are you keeping blameless? Are you walking close? And the evidence to that is how God is using you. Are you growing in the Lord? Are you being stretched in the Lord? Are you excited about the Lord? Are you pursuing the Lord? Is the Christian walk something that is far beyond religion, but in the relationship you have with God, the exciting new life that God intends for us to have? 1 Peter 1:16 says, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. We are to have godly integrity. Integrity, genuine, before God. God initiated His call in Abraham. He called him out of the land of the Chaldeans. And let's look at how God initiates His call to our lives, or on our lives. In John 6:44, it says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day. That word draw is interesting. In the Greek, it means to drag. God drags us. Now that sounds like we're fighting in opposition. Maybe we are. Maybe we are. Maybe we are resisting God's challenge and God's leading. Maybe we are when there are those non-believers that are in church and the invitation comes out and their knuckles are white on the back of the pew. There's that resistance. But God has dragged them right in front of the gospel that without question they hear it. God might drag you to a decision that requires you to take, if you're serious about continuing a close walking relationship with Jesus, even though that challenge scares you. But that's good. Because the challenge that scares us means that we have to rely on Him, not ourselves. And so God draws us to where He wants us to be. But in essence, He's doing everything to drag us right where He wants us. And then it's up to us to respond in obedience or disobedience to Him. The Holy Spirit works internally in our hearts, drawing or literally dragging us to the knowledge of the saving grace of Christ and His purpose for our lives. So ask yourself, has God drawn you or dragged you at any point in your life, could be today or in the past, to a place where God says, now you see it. Now you hear what I want you to do. Now I'm calling you to be a Sunday school teacher. I'm calling you to be a praise team. I'm calling you to, you fill in the blank. God has put it in front of you. Did you accept the call or did you reject the call? And if we continue to accept the call and the challenge, we continue to grow in the fullness and in the wonder and in the joy and in the passion of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God for that. So, will we have the faith like Abraham, believing God, standing bold in His power and protection, living our lives completely for Him? Let's all stand. Father, I want to thank You for Your word. Oh, dear Holy Spirit, I thank You for Your presence. And I thank You for Your love for us, that You compel us and You draw us and you place the things in front of us that are the wondrous things that You want to do in our lives. That, like Romans 8:28, for all things work to the good of those who love God and are called by Him. That everything You're working is the good that You have for our lives. Let us be that much more surrendered. Let us look that much more to You. Let us embrace with all sincerity that which You place in front of us to follow. And Father, may we shine as bright lights, as stars in the sky that are embedded in darkness. May we shine as bright lights, revealing who You are. Now bless, Father. And if there are those that need to make an invitation or make a decision today, because You put that in front of them, then there's no question. And when You do that, that's when you know it's time to respond. Draw on their hearts to do so for Your glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.